There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Joseph Sternberg, my colleague, he's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column from London, based in London, watching America. And several weeks passed, Joe, to his credit, although it was risky, all by himself. I picture a parade with Joe on drums and a couple of horn players, all by themselves, marching down the street. And they're marching because they know inflation is here. However, no one else did, so it looked odd. Well, now there's a brass band out there, and there might be two brass bands, all going in the same way, the parade towards inflation. So several weeks ago, Joe, you were ironic in saying economists always find temporary inflation, temporary, and not to worry about it. And after you wrote that column, I found again and again, Joe, I stopped sending them to you, people talking about temporary inflation, esteemed economists talking about temporary inflation. Well, the word temporary seems to momentarily have been retired because now they're just talking about straight up inflation. In fact, Bill Dudley, who writing in Bloomberg in these last hours, a former president of the New York Fed and a vice chair of the Federal Reserve Board, says not only is inflation here, it's here big time. The Federal Reserve is not going to get to 2024 without raising rates, and they're going to have to raise them dramatically. Okay, Joe, out there by yourself, now joined by all these brass bands. Is this what we knew was coming? And is it too late already to do anything about it?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty clear for a while that something like this was quite likely to happen, just because you've had the situation where you have so much cheap credit in the economy at the moment because the interest rates have been very low. And you've had a lot of these efforts to goose demand with the stimulus and the low interest rates. And it all seems to be working. I mean, this is why everyone is rushing out to get a low-interest home equity loan so that they can redo their kitchens or build an extension on their house. And then that's pushing up commodity prices. And then those high commodity prices filter through to all sorts of other parts of economic life. And then all of a sudden you've got consumer goods companies like Kimberly-Clark and Procter & Gamble raising their prices on things like toothpaste and toilet paper. And we're off to the races. And, you know, I think the thing that's sort of frustrating is that this is all predictable. You still will have economists saying that this is kind of a temporary phenomenon, that it's just because we have all of this pent-up demand after the pandemic, and it'll all kind of work itself out in the end. And that might be true, but you're also discovering, like, some of these changes are not going to be reversed easily. I mean, a lot of these high prices are going to stay high for the foreseeable future. And, you know, people are going to start changing their consumption behavior a bit in response to that. And that in turn is going to shift through to the decisions that the companies make about which products to offer. And so, you know, all of a sudden you have this inflation that the Fed seems absolutely convinced is only going to last for a little while, leading to these big long-term changes in the economy.
And the inflation that is around us now, Joe, if we no longer use the word temporary, is it already here and that we have to work it out over years? In other words, I'm looking not just at the trillions that the Biden administration wants to spend. I'm also looking at the trillions that the Trump administration spent and the low interest rates and the generous employers who are paying more. So it's already in the system, right, Joe? There's no way to stop this. We can't suddenly throw a switch and save ourselves.
Exactly. I mean, there's kind of this theory that the Fed has the right levers that they can pull to control this. That, you know, as soon as Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, has decided the economy has had enough, he can increase interest rates and, hey, presto, it will all be okay. I don't buy that because, first off, the Fed has to be willing to do that, and they're signaling that they're not. In fact, the noises that you're getting from most people at the Fed right now is that the low interest rates will continue indefinitely no matter what the inflation rate is. So, you know, that's the first problem. And then you have this issue of whether they can really fine-tune inflation through precise manipulation of interest rates. And I'm not convinced that is really true either, especially because one consequence is a lot of the consumption that is, you know, helping to push prices higher right now is being fueled in one form or another by debt. And you have to worry about what happens with the sustainability of that debt as the interest rates start increasing. So, you know, we could define that this is, you know, sort of from the Fed's perspective, this is all not a problem until suddenly it is an enormous problem without a very good solution at all.
Recovery. Let's turn to the topic that is weighing on the minds of everyone here, and I'm presuming Europe as well. Reporting from the continent, they're all looking forward to Americans returning for tourism, for the 10, 13, 15% of the GDPs in certain countries are tourism. Recovery would bring with us demand for labor and higher prices and people moving around. I'm told the planes here are filled because we haven't restored all our routes yet. So isn't inflation a necessary part of the recovery, Joe? Is there, it was an artificial recession, so in coming back, aren't we going to have distortions in spending? You know, we have a lot of cash that we built up while we were locked up or supposed to be locked up. So isn't this all logical that it's here as opposed to having, we having sinned by overindulging?
I don't think that there needs to be anything inevitable about inflation when you have a recovery of this sort. I mean, remember that a certain amount of the stockpiling cash that is fueling this was a policy choice. It has been a decision to, expand unemployment benefits, for example, instead of encouraging people to go back to productive work. That might actually, you know, give people money while stimulating actual production, to increase supply in the economy. A lot of this is a policy choice, and it also isn't really obvious to me that inflation needs to, you know, come along with economic growth or that inflation needs to be the price that we pay for economic growth. I mean, I know that all sorts of mainstream economists, with very fancy college degrees think that this is the case, but there isn't an awful lot of historical evidence that it is. Meanwhile, it actually makes it a lot harder for many households to recover because, for example, you have low income households disproportionately bear the burden of higher food and fuel prices, which the Fed ignores completely in its calculations. Those households find it much harder to recover from the downturn when they have to swim against the tide of all of these rising prices. So I would really resist the notion this inflation is either inevitable or healthy.
Now I will speak of the economist whose name shall not be mentioned, who believes that when and if the economy overheats, that is, it necessary for the Federal Reserve to act, that the decisions of the Federal Reserve will be determinative and that all will be well. This economist is associated with the New York Times and Nobel Prize winning and New York Graduate Center, all of that. However, Joe, that is a commonly held theory that the Federal Reserve, Mr. Powell, does have it in his power to stop this, correct?
There are a lot of very well-educated economists who are telling themselves that. But I think that you have to understand there's both a political and an economic element to that. So, I mean, first off, on the economic element, as I've been arguing for a while now, I don't think we have a clear idea that the Fed is able to precisely calibrate interest rate movements to its desired inflation outcome and that it can, you know, steer things without causing all sorts of collateral damage in the economy. And that is particularly the case when the economy has become as heavily indebted as the U.S. has become, because that suggests that any increase in interest rates will tend to create a lot of stress in borrowing markets. We know this because it was increasing interest rates in 2006 and 2007 that ended up setting off the subprime crisis. So you have that economic problem, and then you also have the political problem. The Fed and Treasury have become much closer under Chairman Powell and his predecessor, who is now Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. The two institutions have been much closer than they ever have been before, and Powell is going to be under enormous pressure to maintain low interest rates so that the federal government can fund itself at very low borrowing rates, because the government is inevitably going to have to borrow a lot. So I think that any storyline about what the Fed will or will not be able to do about inflation has to account for all of the political pressure that they're going to face to try to not bankrupt the federal government by increasing interest rates and making new debt issuance unaffordable for the Treasury.
The policy of the Biden administration right now is to go ahead with the trillions and to use Congress. I believe Senator Sanders has said he wants to use the Senate reconciliation, which means that no Republican votes are necessary, if I understand it. Is there a connection between those trillions and what are your concerns about inflation, or are they separate kingdoms?
No, I think that it's definitely very related. And it's interesting that, you know, Senator Sanders and a bunch of other left-wing economists think that they're related because they expect the expanded fiscal spending will be inflationary. For them, that's part of the point, that the sort of all bound up in this modern monetary theory that we keep hearing about, which isn't really modern monetary or a theory. They're clearly expecting that it's going to be inflationary. And I think that we should expect that on two dimensions. I mean, one is just all of the new cash, you know, pouring into the economy without anywhere to go. But the other thing that you have to worry about is the effect on productivity. If the government is wasting all of this money building very unproductive infrastructure and funding crony green energy companies that will not be productive uses of that cash when it might have been better invested in something with higher productivity, that sort of thing ends up fueling inflation too, because it creates limitations on supply, at the same time that you have all of this money floating around.
So the trillions going forward then are part of the worry, not part of the solution. I'm trying to decide how this is being viewed, this policy decision. Can we regard the trillions as contributing to inflation? And I remember you told me, Joe, there's good inflation and bad inflation. Is that the bad inflation that makes the people living on fixed incomes poorer?
Well, yes. I mean, that's definitely what you have to worry about. I mean, sort of good price movements are the sort that are a response to market signals. And, you know, prices can also go up and wages can go up because people become more productive, because there is successful productive investment in the economy and the things that they are producing are more valuable to people in the market, so that people are objectively willing to pay more for them. And so that's not anything that we're trying to fight here. But I think that what you have now is a lot of money chasing the same productive capacity, and it sort of ends up fueling these irrational bidding wars, which is the thing that you have to worry about, because it is very destructive in terms of investment moving forward, and then it also is going to leave a lot of people behind. And the people who will struggle the most to catch up or to keep up are people who are most vulnerable in the economy, people who are low income or low skilled. They always end up suffering the most. And so I get a little irritated by some of these left-wing populists who want to pursue these policies that are going to be really terrible for the people they claim they're helping.
We're going searching good news, and Joe is living in London, and there's good news in London, thankfully. And Boris Johnson gets to deliver it when we come back. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. This is CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor.